On Valentine's Day 2013, South Africa awoke to a nightmare that blurred the line between tragedy and infamy. Oscar Pistorius, the beloved Paralympic hero who defied gravity and expectation on carbon fiber blades, was in tears, not at a medal ceremony, but in a police station. His girlfriend, 29-year-old model and activist Reva Steenkamp, was dead. Shot 4 times through a locked bathroom door, he claimed he thought she was an intruder. Prosecutors called it premeditated murder. The world watched, stunned, as the golden boy of global sport crumbled under the weight of suspicion. What unfolded next would expose the cracks beneath celebrity, masculinity, and justice in post-apartheid South Africa. Ballistics, blood trails, and testimony collided in one of the most emotionally charged trials of the decade. But at the center of it all, splintered and bloodstained, stood a single wooden bathroom door. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Bullet in the Bathroom. The sun had barely risen on February 14, 2013, when emergency services received a frantic call from Silverwoods Country Estate in Pretoria. The voice on the line, Oscar Pistorius. The message: I thought she was a burglar. I shot her. Within minutes, paramedics arrived at the opulent Mediterranean-style home. Reva Steenkamp was slumped at the foot of the stairs, her blood pooled across the marble tiles. She had been shot through a locked bathroom door, suffering fatal wounds to the head, hip, arm, and hand. Pistorius, barefoot and shaken, was already weeping. Police took him in. No struggle, no flight. Just a man broken by what he claimed was a terrible mistake. But nothing about the scene felt accidental. The couple behind the headlines, Reva Steenkamp, wasn't just Oscar's girlfriend. She was a law graduate, a model, and a vocal advocate against gender-based violence. On the very day she died, her scheduled TV appearance included the line, "I'm here to tell every woman, you have the right to say no." Their relationship had been high profile, but fast-moving. They had only been dating for about 3 months. While tabloids fawned over their public appearances, friends noticed something more complex behind the scenes: emotional highs, possessiveness, and sudden mood swings. Reva had confided to some that Oscar could be jealous and intense. The house, the scene, the shots. The layout of Pistorius's home played a pivotal role. The main bedroom was large, with a sliding door to a balcony and an ensuite bathroom. The toilet cubicle, separated by a locked interior door, was where Reva died. At around 3 a.m., Pistorius claimed he woke up and thought Reva was still in bed. He heard a noise from the bathroom. Believing an intruder had broken in through the balcony, he retrieved his 9mm Parabellum from beneath the bed and fired 4 times through the closed toilet door. But investigators found key inconsistencies. Reva's cell phone was inside the toilet cubicle. No sign of forced entry on the balcony. The shots were grouped. 2 to the right, 2 to the left, indicating measured aim rather than panic. Then came the bathroom door itself. Splintered, stained, and removed from its hinges, it became Exhibit A. Reva had locked herself inside. She was standing, possibly facing the door. Ballistics showed the bullets traveled in a downward trajectory, odd, considering Pistorius's height with prosthetics on. The question emerged: why would she lock herself in? The neighbors heard screams. 4 separate neighbors testified they heard a woman screaming followed by gunshots. One described blood-curdling screams, then a pause, then more shots. Pistorius insisted the screams were his own, high-pitched, panicked. But the court found the pattern disturbing. If the first 2 shots had hit her, how was she screaming afterward? And if she was, why did he keep firing? The prosecutors circle in lead. Prosecutor Gary Nell wasn't subtle. Dubbed the pit bull, Nell framed the entire case around intention. You knew she was in there, you aimed, you fired, and then you covered it with a lie. They pointed to a history of firearm misuse. Pistorius once fired a gun through a car sunroof after an argument with police. He discharged a weapon in a restaurant, then asked a friend to take the blame. He kept a loaded weapon under his bed, despite knowing Reva was present. They argued this wasn't fear. It was rage. And Reva, they said, had locked herself inside that toilet, not to hide from a burglar, but from him. The defense fires back. Barry Rue, Pistorius's attorney, portrayed a vastly different man. Vulnerable, anxious, and sleep-deprived. He was a double amputee, Rue emphasized, with deep fears of home invasion in a country plagued by violent crime. In his version, Oscar felt helpless and reactive. And perhaps most heartbreakingly, he had no motive, no prior physical abuse, no documented threats, just a terrible misunderstanding on a tragic night. But the timeline, the screams, and the four shots through a closed door kept unraveling that defense. The ghost in the courtroom. Throughout the trial, Reva's presence hung over every proceeding. Her family sat silently in the front row, often holding back tears. Photos of her wounds were shown to the court. A WhatsApp message from weeks earlier was read aloud. "I'm scared of you sometimes. The way you snap at me. The way you talk to me." The judge, Thokozile Masipa, listened without emotion. South Africa listened with fury. Many saw this not just as a murder trial, but as a referendum on how the country values women, especially women harmed by men they trusted. Verdict: a nation divided. In September 2014, Pistorius was found not guilty of murder, but guilty of culpable homicide, akin to manslaughter. Judge Masipa cited a lack of clear intent. The backlash was immediate. Women's rights groups protested. Legal experts were stunned. Did a famous man get a softer sentence? Was the justice system still haunted by its colonial and patriarchal roots? Oscar was sentenced to 5 years, but served less than one in prison before being moved to house arrest. It wouldn't last. Chapter 2. Trial tapes and a door that wouldn't stay shut. If the first trial exposed deep cracks in Pistorius's story, the appeal would smash the foundation altogether. In 2015, prosecutors pushed back. South Africa's Supreme Court of Appeal reviewed the evidence and reversed the verdict. Their conclusion was unflinching. Pistorius must have known someone was behind that door. Whether it was Reva or an intruder, he fired with intent to kill. The new charge? Murder. The second sentencing, no more illusions. On July 6, 2016, Pistorius returned to court. By now, the world had seen everything. The prosthetics he walked on. The tears he shed. The moment he removed his legs and hobbled toward the bench to beg for mercy. This time, there was no sympathy. He was sentenced to 6 years for murder. The public once again erupted with outrage. The prosecutors appealed once more, arguing the sentence was shockingly lenient. In 2017, the appeals court agreed and doubled the sentence to 13 years and 5 months. Oscar Pistorius, the man once hailed as the Blade Runner, was now inmate number 003116 at Atteridgeville Prison. What the door still says. The bathroom door, preserved and displayed during trial, became the silent witness to Reva Steenkamp's final moments. It was not just evidence. It was metaphor. The locked door represented fear. Reva's fear of a man whose public image didn't match what she saw in private. It represented isolation. How, even in a relationship, someone can feel utterly alone in their final seconds. And it symbolized control. If she had run downstairs, would she have survived? If she had screamed louder, would a neighbor have come sooner? If the door had stayed intact, would Pistorius have paused? We will never know. But what the door revealed, bullet-ridden, broken, and stained, was this. Even icons can become monsters. Reva's legacy. Today, Reva Steenkamp's name is remembered not for who she dated, but for what she stood for. Her parents, Barry and June, became activists against gender-based violence. They started foundations. They spoke to schools. They looked young girls in the eye and told them, "You matter, your voice matters, and if someone hurts you, speak." Reva's image is no longer framed by crime scene photos. It's in murals, speeches, and classroom lessons. She became more than a victim. She became a warning and a rallying cry. Where is Oscar now? As of 2025, Oscar Pistorius remains in prison, though parole hearings are underway. His supporters insist he's paid enough. His critics say no sentence can equal what he took. And still, that door looms in the minds of millions, a door that wouldn't stay shut.